Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, I want to talk about having plans turned upside down. Having all your best laid plans changed. And I think about every person in this room can relate to this in a very recent way, because I imagine each and every one of us did not have the Thanksgiving we planned on. I imagine we all have not had the year we expected. You've probably had a vacation delayed or canceled. Your job has probably been a little different or changed completely. Your schooling has probably been some or mostly virtual. Your social life may have been turned upside down. Your family dynamic surely different than you had planned on. Now, most of this I just mentioned is pandemic related. We are kind of experiencing the whole world having their plans turned upside down at once. But having your plans turned upside down is not a COVID-specific phenomena. While this year it's been usually related to it, in normal years and in normal years to come, there are moments in life where your plans are simply changed. There are moments where life is simply turned upside down. And sometimes this happens in a pretty severe way, with a job loss or an unexpected financial burden or the end of a relationship or, God forbid, the death of a loved one. These unexpected moments turn our plans upside down, and we are forced to rethink, to adjust, to change our plans. And today we're going to talk about making those adjustments, about how we respond, on what to do next when our plans are turned on their head. And it's relatable because we all are living in a little bit of an upside down world right now, or at least a little sideways. And we know that life happens. There will be days ahead for each of us when we have to endure and adjust. We're going to talk about the Christian response to changing plans. But to talk about this, I want to get into the Christmas story. It is Advent after all. And we're going to talk about another life-changing circumstance that many of us can relate to, having a child. But we're going to talk about an even more plan-altering circumstance of having a child that you weren't expecting. Now, a lot of people and a lot of relationships over the years have been changed based on this particular circumstance, have had their plans turned upside down based on this circumstance. I'm sure many of our own families have dealt with this at some point in time. And we're going to look at this life-changing circumstance from the eyes of Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus. Now, Joseph is one of those major side characters in the Bible. He's a major character because we hear about him a lot. He's front and center. I imagine each and every one of you has a statue of him in your house, in your nativity set. Maybe you collect them and have dozens of his figures at home. I know quite a few people who do that. We have a couple of our own. Also one out in the front yard. But, you know, he's a major character in that way. But he's also a side character because we don't ever really, or rarely at least, look at Christmas from his perspective. The Bible is the same way. The Bible does not actually record any words out of Joseph's mouth. Now, that's in some ways fair because the Bible is the story of Jesus and what he's done for humanity. It's not Joseph's story. But sometimes, in the effort to share the story of Jesus, we forget that Joseph is a character we can relate to. He is someone who was chosen by God for a special purpose, but who encountered challenging circumstances and changing plans, and he dealt with it the best way he could. Joseph is relatable for us. So today we're going to give Joseph a little bit of his due, because Joseph is a picture of someone who had all of his life's plans interrupted. Everything turned upside down in a single moment. Now Joseph, from what we can tell, did things the right way. He worked hard. He was a carpenter, but that probably also meant a craftsman and a stonemason. He was the handyman around Nazareth. And it seemed he was a respectable member of Jewish society. And Joseph, when we get to our gospel text, is at the point in his life where things are kind of starting to pay off, where he's getting to reach his goals. He's been engaged to be married to Mary, and they've also been betrothed. Now, this is something we need to highlight a little bit, because marriage back then was a little different than it is today. Today, we've got engagement and then the marriage. Their process was kind of three steps. Engagement, usually years before, when they were younger and the families were deciding. Then betrothal, and then marriage. Now, betrothal was kind of the formal ratification of the marriage to be. It was a step in the process. You weren't quite married yet, but it was kind of close. So what betrothed meant was they would actually be considered man and wife. Now, they would not share a home or a bed yet. They would not celebrate the actual marriage ceremony yet. But at this point, had Joseph died, Mary would have been considered a widow. At this point, the only way to separate them and their promise to each other is through the death of one of them or through a legal divorce. So this is the point they're at. They are almost married, not quite, not one flesh yet, but they're promised to each other, and it would be legally binding. But I talk about this because the fact that Joseph has gotten to this point means that his plans are kind of paying off, means that he's kind of done well for himself. Remember, in these days, it wasn't just two people deciding to get married and spend the rest of their life together. The families were very involved in this process. So for Joseph to have been engaged to Mary in the first place and to have gotten to this point of betrothal, he's done well. He's done what was expected of him. Her family has decided that he's a respectable member of society, that he's a good man, and that he can support her. He's probably a little bit older than her, and he's probably worked very hard for a long time to get to the point where they can get married. And he's ready. He's waited a long time. He's done a lot of preparation and planning, and he's excited to start this new life with Mary. Years of planning, years of preparation, years of dedication. And then in one moment, all those plans get turned upside down. The woman he's pledged to, who's already considered to be his wife, whom he had worked very hard to prepare a home and a place for, whom he's soon to be married to, is found to be pregnant. And the child is not his. Not only are his plans completely disrupted, but you can only imagine how he felt, likely betrayed and heartbroken and shamed all at the same time. In this moment, Joseph had to rethink everything. And the question is, how would Joseph respond to this situation? How did he respond? Well, first I want to talk about how he could have responded, because I think it's how most people would respond. If you took Joseph's situation and put it in our contemporary context, I think most people would answer this exact same situation by repaying evil for evil. Now, in our contemporary context, a lot of people faced with this situation would do what they had to do to get rid of the source of that shame, of the source of the disrupted plans. They would get rid of the child, answering evil for evil. Now, I don't know if this was an option in Joseph's day. Surely it wasn't as readily available or as accepted as it is today. But Joseph had other options to answer evil with evil. And again, there are other options in our world today when it comes to a situation like this, a messy family situation. Many people answer evil for evil in a messy, drawn-out divorce, legal-type battle. Many people answer a situation like this by publicly shaming someone on social media or to everyone around. Many people answer a situation like this with abuse, either emotional or physical. Again, answering evil with evil. And Joseph had these options available to him. Joseph had the option to take his vengeance for the assumed adultery in this situation, the assumed breaking of his plans. And it was quite legal. Joseph, in the society, could have had Mary stoned for adultery. It would have been legal. It would have been seen as a proper thing to do to many around them. This was an option for Joseph to get his vengeance, to answer evil with evil in a very real way, in a very legal way. This is the way Joseph could have responded, and there would have been many people who supported him in doing just that. But this is not what Joseph did. Why? Because he cared for Mary, and I believe he was a good, godly man who cared for what God has to say, and he resolved to not put her to shame. Now, Matthew says that Joseph was a just man. Now, essentially what this word means is morally upright. So Joseph decided to do what he saw as the moral thing, which was to quietly divorce Mary, to quietly put her away as a way of avoiding shame and physical harm for her, but also dissolving the marriage that she appeared to not be committed to. This was Joseph's moral and upright way of dealing with this. This was justice in Joseph's mind. But you know, that wasn't God's solution for Joseph. While this was what Joseph thought was moral in God's eyes, it wasn't the right solution. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. You see, the moral thing, it only takes you so far. While in almost anyone's eyes, the way Joseph planned to deal with the situation was moral and upright and just and loving, it's not what God wanted, nor was it the best way forward. And this is because basic morality only takes you so far. Besides, what even is basic morality? What is justice? What is rightness? What is love when it's not defined by something? All these things are up for debate in our culture. All these things are relatively ambiguous and kind of in the eye of the beholder. For example, Joseph thought justice was quietly putting Mary away, quietly divorcing her and ending the relationship. But there were many others in that society who I already mentioned would have thought justice was to make an example of her. They would have thought that was the moral thing to do. Different ends of the spectrum. And today it's no different. We know this. Morality is kind of on a spectrum. It's different in different places and in different people's hearts. The basic morality of the common man in California and Nebraska is very different. The most common morality 50 years ago as compared to today is very different. But 50 years ago, we don't need that example. We could say 5 years ago, and what people think is okay and what people say is not acceptable has changed rapidly. No one would blame you if you found it hard to keep up. No one would blame you if you found it hard to use the morality of the masses as any kind of compass for your life when it so constantly changes and when it so often contradicts itself. What is morality, and how do we use it when confronted with a tough situation like Joseph was, when it's hard to say what is right and loving and just? And the truth for us today is that basic morality, justice, even love when it's undefined, it only takes us so far. It only does so much for us. And yeah, for Joseph to use his moral compass, to use the morality of the time, and to put Mary away quietly, it was a good thing. It was better than the alternative. But had Joseph just done the just thing, had he just done what he felt in his heart was right, well, he would have missed out on something beautiful. He would have missed out on God's beautiful plan for his family. In this example, the just and moral thing was not what Joseph was called to do. And in the end, it's not how he responded either. The way Joseph finally responds after contemplation and after the visit from the angel is by simply listening to God. That's kind of what I want to talk about today as we respond to tough, challenging, upside-down circumstances in our life. Listening to God. This was Joseph's way of responding to this challenging circumstance. And we know the rest of the story. Joseph took Mary to be his wife. He took that child as his own. He trusted God when he said that Mary had not been unfaithful, but rather this was a child produced by a miracle. And by listening to God, a beautiful plan unfolded. A beautiful plan not only for Jesus and the work he had to do and for all of us as well, but a beautiful plan for Joseph and Mary and their family. And the rest of the Bible tells us that they had a large family, at least 4 more sons and at least 1 daughter. This plan was not just for all people, but also for Joseph. And it was accomplished by listening to God. So, how does this principle play out in our lives? Well, that's kind of the million-dollar question. And unfortunately, God doesn't always give us as crystal clear of an answer as Joseph got. We often don't have God speak to us in a dream, but God does speak to us. We would be foolish to think he doesn't. He speaks to us often, and sometimes he speaks to us quite clearly. He speaks to us by way of our consciences, by that law written on our hearts. He speaks to us in prayer, and he speaks most clearly to us in his word. And if we're paying attention to God's word, to prayerfully look at his word, you'll find that almost every important relational decision is spoken to in God's word. For example, if we were to look at a modern-day Joseph, someone in this exact same situation, maybe minus the virgin birth, someone in that exact same situation would have quite a bit spoken to them in God's word. For a modern-day Joseph, God's word would say that in the case of adultery, divorce is acceptable. But it would also say that God would prefer that relationship be restored. For a modern-day Joseph, God's word would say that vengeance is not yours to take. For a modern-day Joseph, God's word would say that it is not right or just or moral to publicly humiliate or shame anyone, regardless of what they have done. For a modern-day Joseph, God would tell him to love those who have harmed you. For a modern-day Joseph, God's word would say that regardless of how it came about, that child's life is precious. God's word would have given a modern-day Joseph plenty of answers, as it gives us plenty of answers in our own situations. Now I will admit, Joseph did need special instruction. He needed special instruction because he was in a special circumstance. He was in a circumstance where the laws of nature when it came to creating a child didn't quite apply. And so God made it known to him that his wife had not been unfaithful. And for the sake of that marriage, they persisted. But God's word was clear. In every other aspect of this situation, what we have today as God's word would have spoken everything Joseph needed to hear. What was truly right and moral and just and loving, it was all there. But we need to realize something. Even as what Joseph was to do was clear, even as we today sometimes have it clearly written for us how we should respond, it doesn't make it easy. It takes courage to stand on God's righteousness, to follow his path, to listen to him. For Joseph to not take vengeance, for Joseph to forgive what he assumed to be an adulterous wife, these things would have been countercultural, and they would have been counter to every instinct inside the human heart. It would not have been the easy or the popular path, and today it's just the same for us. God's path, when it comes to morality or rightness or love, it looks so very different than the culture and the people around us usually decide what is moral and just is. It takes courage to stand on his ground. It took courage for Joseph. He knew exactly what everyone around him was going to think when he listened to God. He knew what everyone around him was going to see when they saw Mary and that child. They were going to see a wife and a child that were not his. Joseph knew this. But he also knew God's truth, and he stood on that truth, and it led to something truly beautiful. So for us today, we must understand the world we live in. And in this world we live in, even our best laid plans are not always going to pay off. God's word tells us this, that in this world there will be trouble and trial and tribulation. Our experience tells us this. This year, above all, tells us that even the best laid plans can change, and that earthly life, it doesn't offer any promises. Sin's going to get in the way. Plans will change. Challenges will arise. Life will be turned upside down. The question is, how will we respond? Will we go with our gut instinct? Will we go with what the culture says is right? Will we let the world make our decisions for us? Or will we go to our God in prayer and in study and in the counsel of our brothers and sisters who are also in Christ? Will we seek his way, his purpose, his countercultural truth and promises? Now, this world, it's weary. It is weary from sin. It's weary from hate. It's weary from separation. It's weary from death and disease and everything else around us. There is only one solution to the weariness, only one true north, only one perfect compass to guide us. And it is the life and work of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, what he did for us on that cross, the babe in Bethlehem, come to die for our sins to secure our eternity. But also, we remember the voice of the Father at Jesus' baptism when he said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so we do. We listen to him on matters of eternity and on matters of the material. His will, not ours. His way forward in any and all circumstances. So going away from here, I encourage us to all take this story of Joseph to heart, to see ourselves in him, a common, everyday guy who was chosen by God for special purposes, someone confronted with challenging circumstances and changing plans, but someone who sought what was right and found it in the words of our God. You know, my favorite Bible verse for a long time, it's been Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. And I think those verses speak to Joseph's story. I think those verses speak to our story this year, and I think they speak to every day of our lives going forward. They say this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." The verse kind of says it all. In this weary world full of challenging circumstances and changing plans, the best way forward is always his way. Amen. And now may the